Father, we ask that you shall open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So I was saying that your attitude to money is very important. It's one of the things I need to add, you know, like speaking in tongues, you know, okay. You know, today we are talking about speaking in tongues, you know, today we are talking about fasting, you know. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying from that perspective. I'm telling you that your attitude to money, your thinking around money determines your very walk with God, you know. So it's a very important matter that we are discussing. You know, if you have the wrong attitude to money, you can put yourself in a very risky situation where you could even potentially lose your salvation. Okay? And that's what I'll show you. Okay, go ahead. So, it's money, but it's also your life. You know, and that's what we want to talk about. That's why money is important. Because you need to understand it. First of all, you need to understand when God says somebody is prospering, or when God says wealth, what he's not saying, and also what he's saying. Because everybody has a definition of wealth and prosperity. Have you now? Yeah. And you don't need God to teach you that one. You give yourself, the society that you're in determines what is wealth, what is prosperity, you know. And, you know, because you're young, it's the perfect time to teach you well, because you see, the older you get, the harder it gets to change your mind about this thing. Because typically when you're old, your understanding of God will be, let me use God to do what I want to do. Meaning what you want to do would already be set in stone. And then God will be more like a helper to help you do what you want to do, you know, not what he wants to do. Okay. And you need to understand this, okay? So the best time to understand God is when you're young, when that's the best time for your mind to change, you know, when you're young. So let us go to, first let me say something. Let's go to Psalm 111. 3. Psalm 113. We'll read together. We'll read we'll read the entire thing together. Although it's just one thing I want to point out, but we'll read the entire thing together. Hallelujah. Psalm 113 from verse 1. By the way, just in case I forget, if anyone wants to, Babatis Mocktails is looking for his employee. You know, so if anyone wants to work and make some money, go and apply. Hallelujah. Yes, go and apply. You know. And the way you apply, you go and meet Babatis. That's how you apply. If you want to make some money, you know, every weekend, you know, go and apply. All right, can we read? We'll read from verse 1 to verse 9, right? All right, can we read? 1, 2, go. Hold on, please. Let's change it to NLT. There's no reason. Me personally, I'm reading my Bible now in NLT because I just want to, and there's no issue. You know, there's no issue. I just want to read a different English version. You know, and when I teach, I like to teach because I like to teach in, or I'm liking to teach with scripture translations that are very simple. Okay? Are we together? Yeah. Because I don't want you to, at times when you're teaching people the Bible, what they like is the depth of English. Some people like, when you're saying, I want to teach you the Bible in plain English that everybody can understand, so that you see the power of scripture is not complicated language, All right, can we read from verse 1 to verse 8? Well, one to go. Verse 2. Verse 8. Hallelujah. All right, can we read verse 7 and 8 again? That's just what I want to bring out. Verse 7. Hallelujah. So, when we think about wealth and prosperity, I want you to, because when you read scripture, it's like God explaining his character to you, if you can see it well, okay? And how you would know God's personality primarily is by your understanding of scripture, okay? He can reveal himself to you via dreams and all those kind of things, but fundamentally, how you would think about God is based on largely on scripture, like 98%, even 100%. The others are just like augmentations. If you have dreams and your scriptural understanding is poor, your dream would match your scriptural understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, one thing I want you to understand about God, that God is very committed to the idea of lifting people up. Can we say lifting people up? Hallelujah. Huh? God is very committed. That's his nature. He takes joy in lifting people up. People that human beings might say don't deserve a position, a title, or just maybe circumstances, So when you walk with God, as we are all walking with God, you need to understand that God's journey with you is a journey of lifting up. Hallelujah. Are we together? In other words, your life is going to keep on getting better and better, even if you are below zero. Amen. Okay? Even if you are below zero, as you keep on walking with God, your life is going to get better and better. Today, I'm talking about the philosophy of wealth because of time. I think that's all we'll have enough time to look at today. Eventually, we'll look at the attitude of wealth. Right? And one of the things that you must have as regards the attitude is the attitude of patience. Can you say patience? Hallelujah. Can you say patience? You must have the attitude of patience, because in this journey of lifting up, it is not overnight. Nobody, God does not do sudden wealth. Hallelujah. Are we together? He does not do it. I'm not saying he does it sometimes. He does not do it. Okay? Are we together? What you might see as sudden is never sudden. You just might not have seen the thing, the process, okay? But God is fundamentally involved more in the process. The reason why he doesn't do it is that that's not where he takes glory from. Hallelujah. Where he actually takes glory from is the process. Do you get my point? All right, so he takes people through a process of growth. Are we together? Without a process, you are illegitimate. You can't just appear. You have to go through a process of growth. So one of the major attitudes that you need is patience. And that's why, in past I've told you the truth that you are not going to be rich as per your physical cash immediately. Because you're not at the process stage of that yet. If you start the process quick, then you will get to the journey quick. You get to the destination quick. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? But if you leave the process And then you're looking for a quick win. You will not get the quick win, and then you'll be destroyed. Are we together? You will destroy yourself. If you're hasty to be rich, your hands won't be clean. And this issue of process, it's all encompassing. I'm just looking at it in the context of wealth. It's all encompassing. It's even in your salvation, People that run away from prayer backslide eventually. If you want to know, well, you shouldn't want to know, but if you see anybody that maybe you say, let's pray now, it's just like now, I've told you now that in that camp meeting, we're going to do 7 hour. Did I tell you? Yeah, we're going to do 7 hour stretch. The people that run away from that thing, you will see what will happen to them. Nobody will flog them. Man. Nobody will flog anybody. Everybody will be peaceful. But the people that run away, you will just see, you will just notice in 6 months, you will just notice that, Why? Because if you run away from process, you will destroy yourself. Hallelujah. So that has to be the foundational attitude that you have. And that's why you are in the season of sowing seed. Hallelujah. Which is the season of process. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? You are in the season of process. So you are crazy. You are a crazy person here if you are praying against the altars in your family. Amen. Are you hearing me? What did I say? Yes, you are crazy. You are mental. Because nothing concerns you and the altars of your family. The outcome of your life is based on the seed you sow now. Hallelujah. So you are a crazy person to leave the seed you sow now. It's just like now, maybe the entire Nigeria, instead of going to farm, now rainy season is about approaching. Instead of everybody going to farm, we'll be praying. But every farming in the land, we cast and bind it. By December, there won't be food in Nigeria. You understand? Are we together? If you have any dream where they carried you to your village and they told you that, just as you wake up from the dream, just laugh and continue your life. I'm telling you, it's just Satan is just, he's trying to trick you. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? I'm serious, because I know some of you might be having scary dreams. As you wake up, just laugh and move on with your life. It's been tricky, he's just trying to scare you. When you are weak, see your life. You see the outcome of your life happens when you are weak. You get my point, right? It's when you are weak. That's what happens. What you do when you are weak is what happens. Right? It's what counts. You understand? If someone comes to you and tells you now that if someone appears to you in a dream and tells you now you're my wife, I'm your wife. You should ask when you wake up. You should ask the person, when did I marry you? I've not gone to wedding registry. I've not done anything, so I'm not married to you. You understand? Oh, you foolish spirit! You understand? Are we together? So let's go to 3 John 1:2. Okay, popular scripture. That's where we'll start from. So I want to talk about the philosophy of wealth because when we talk about money, first you need to understand the thinking around prosperity. When God says prosperity, I've discovered that this is one of the major hurdles that we human beings have as we try to relate with God. We don't understand God's perspective. We assume his perspective. For example, a lot of people say that Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ said, "I've come to preach the gospel to the poor," a lot of people add a meaning to that therefore Jesus Christ has come to preach prosperity. That's not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, "I've come to preach to the poor." He didn't say, "I've come to preach to the poor prosperity." You get my point, right? We like to add what we want to add, you know. So, in 3 John 1, verse 2, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." Let's go to NKJV. Because that's what a lot of us would be familiar with. NKJV. Can someone read for us? Beloved, thank you. "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." Abina. All right. All right. So when we hear that word prosper, which is what he's saying. Now, wow, who is that person? Who is in 3 John 3? But it's fine. No, please, leave him, Let him be making mistake like that. Let him be trying his power. That's for everybody. So I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like your shout. But are you listening to me? I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, when we look at the word prosper, can someone try and find out from their phone? Because I want to, want to teach us well. So can someone find out what's the Greek word of that word prosper is? What is the Greek word? If you have a phone, you can just search or something. Just say, what is the Greek word in 3 John 1 to prosper? Something like that. What's the Greek word? Because this scripture is written in Greek. So what's the Greek word prosper? What are they translating to prosper? Anyone? Eudoabi, let's say Edo. I don't. That's not. I don't know if that's the pronunciation. But let's just say Edo. Okay. What does it mean? Let's give someone the mic, please. Where's the extra mic? We're gonna give Christabel. Edo. Or Edo. Or Edo.
So, Udo means to prosper, succeed, or have a good journey or path.
All right. To prosper, to succeed, or have a good journey or path. Any other person? Any other similar extra thing? Hallelujah. Any other person? All right. So to prosper, to succeed, to have a good journey or path. In other words, when you then see in NLT where he's saying, "I want you to do well." Do you understand? Let's go back to NLT. Verse 2. "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you." So you understand what he's saying here, Abby? Do you understand what he's saying here? All right. So basically, for you to be doing well, for you to be on a good journey, right? So what he's fundamentally talking about, and this is important to understand what I'm saying, that when John was wishing prosperity, what he was saying was, it was like, "May it be well with you," that kind of thing, right? Which is not specifically talking about material possessions. Are we together? Right? He's talking about something more holistic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. Now, in saying, if I look at you and I say, it is well with you. Depending on your context, it might not necessarily be money that I'm talking about. Abina, you know something? For instance, for those of you writing down, if I tell you it is well with you, how you interpret this is that I will pass my exam. Abina, you get it, right? If somebody is you tell maybe pass somebody it is well with you, she might be hearing it more of. You know, Pasewen likes money, so she'll hear it as money, but she can also hear it as, okay, you know, my wedding will go well, my marriage will be sweet, you know, that kind of thing, right? You know, it's ultimately talking about a holistic life experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, hear what I'm saying, you know. So when John is talking about it being well with you, you know, he's talking like your journey, let everything be smooth, you know, let's be progressing in life, okay? So it is important to understand that when we talk about prosperity, now in that word, to some people, it is then more money. Do you get my point? All right? But it's important to understand that in this word or in this context, you're talking about something larger than material wealth. Okay? We're talking about something larger than just bank account. The larger conversation. Okay. Now, this is the first thing to understand. So when God says prosperity, you know, he's talking about your entire journey. Hallelujah. Okay? I want you to have this at the back of your mind. He's talking about your entire journey. And you will then see, when we go further, we'll then explain, because, you know, now we're just looking at prosperity. I'll leave this prosperity issue, because what I specifically want to talk about is the money side of it. Okay? But I just want to just explain first that also you to, when you see, when you talk of prosperity, I want you to have that holistic view. It's about everything that concerns you, not just money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is not like when it says you prosper as your soul is prospering, it's not like your money will increase as your soul. No, that's not what it's talking about. Why is this important? It is very important because you should not tie material wealth to closeness to God, to intimacy with God. Hallelujah. It's not that the more spiritual you are, the richer you are. Okay? Yeah? It is not like that, you know. Or that the more, or when I say rich, I get what I mean, that the more spiritual you are, then the more money you have. So it's not like the Ogbonge men of God are the rich men of God. That's not how the thing is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? And so you too, in your life, you have to know how to separate. You have to know the limits of material wealth so that you don't enter into trouble. You know? Not everybody here will be rich at the same level. But that has nothing to do with God's expression of love. Do you get what I'm saying? All right? So you have no desire to envy your brother that God's contract of 1 billion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Please hear what I'm saying, because you will be tempted by these things. Okay? Not now, but soon. You will be tempted by these things. Okay? It's not everybody that's, you know, some will blow first, some will blow later. You get my point? If you see what I mean by blow, you know. And that's not a statement of God's love. God is not saying, if God should make this guy in the next 4 years a multimillionaire, God is not saying that I love him more. God is never saying that people should emulate him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's just his path in life. That's his journey. That's where his journey has led him to. You understand? You get my point? So that you don't start comparing yourself. You don't start being envious of yourself, you know. You know, start saying, you know, Jesus, you don't love me after all my fasting and prayer, you know. You know. I'm not telling you, I'm not carrying you to go and do 7-hour prayer marathons because of money. Oh, are we together? That has nothing to do with money. If it's money, I'll carry you to business seminar. You get my point, right? So don't have the expectation now that, you know, all this suffering. Amen. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Yeah. It's simple, Abby. Eh? It's simple, Abby. All right. Abby, it's not simple. Okay. So, please hear what I'm saying. Because you'll be tempted. You will be tempted by this. And everybody here, there's one thing that you will see God doing your friends like that. It will pain your heart. You know? And I'm telling you now so that you will understand how to react when that thing happens. Some of you that think it's just Jesus I'm serving, you won't know that maybe it's really husband you want until you see the husband that your best friend will carry, you know. And then you are still the handmaiden of the Lord, you know. So there are two separate things, right? First is prosperity. Can we say prosperity? Yeah, prosperity. Then the second is riches. Can we say riches? Okay. There is prosperity. There is riches. All right. Prosperity is what we've spoken about. Okay. Riches is straight up what you have. Are we together? Money in the bank. Money, if it's back in the day, sheep. You know, it's Abraham's time, is the sheep. You know, material possessions. What you have, right? There is prosperity. That is what we've been talking about. And there is riches. Now, what I'm honing on, you know, is riches. Hallelujah. Are we together? I'm talking about the actual money conversation, right? And what I want to say is, firstly, why do we have riches? Okay? As the first question I want to answer, why do we have riches? I'm not asking you, why do you want riches? Is there anybody here that does not want riches? Let us know. Anybody here? No, maybe you want to be a monk. There's some people, they want to do monastery. You know, they'll shave their hair and go to one mountain. You know, some people want that. It's their choice, you know. So we want to look at, firstly, why? 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 Tell your neighbor, why should you have riches? Amen. Now, you know, what I'm teaching, I'll be teaching it in a funny way, and I want you to just listen to me because potentially some of you, your heart might jump at what I'm saying, meaning your heart might cut, you know, at what I'm saying, you know. In the initial stages, you know. But just stay with me, you know, so that when we get to our destination, you will see that, okay, you know, God is still a kind God. Yeah. So let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This is one of the, Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. This is one of the core things that I want you to understand. 19 verse 23. 19 verse 23. This is one of the core things that I want you to understand. Huh? Can we read together? One, two, go. Can we read one more time? Now, this scripture, this simple scripture causes a lot of problem. You know, because of what I was talking about, assumption, you know, human beings have their philosophy. You know, some people, for instance, they've given up on life. And so they use this scripture to justify their failure. That way, it's easier for me to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, Yeah, some people use this thing to console themselves, you know. Some people go into another tangent and begin to say all sorts of things, one of the one, I remember one conversation I had as a young teenager, and an adult person called me, was not teaching me something, was not trying to mentor me. I went into one. That was the first time I heard that this. I think in the next verse it says the eye of a needle. You know, camera to go. So he explains to me that eye of the needle actually is not needle pin, is an entrance where camera used to enter. You know, people won't understand what I'm talking about. But you know, it's not. You know, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That eye of a needle is not. You know what you're thinking is needle now, the thing. And no, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Which is true. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What he's talking about is there's a. It's like a gate. They call it eye of the needle, where camel when a camel is entering the city. You know, it's a small gate. The camel will bend down and enter. So that's what Jesus was referencing. You know. So, amen. Amen. Is it the power of assumption? Everybody just assume it's pin. And Jesus is talking about. And so he was trying to justify that. That when I saw that thing, my heart was not okay. You know. But that's still, I mean, that's okay, but that's still what not what Jesus Christ is talking about. What Jesus Christ is talking about is very plain. You know, it's a very straightforward statement. It's not the kind of statement that you can misunderstand. Rather, it's the kind of statement that you need to get clarity on. You know, the intent of the statement. Are we together? If I say the sky is blue, you know, what I'm saying is what I'm saying. You get my point? He's teaching and he's making a factual statement. He's telling you, I tell you the truth. He's not even. You know, it's not even like, it's like, I assure you, you know, because, you know, it's a hard saying. So people might be like, what's he really saying? You know, but he's saying that, look, I assure you, what I'm telling you is a fact. You know, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So instead of debating whether what Jesus Christ said is real or not, whether the Greek can say something else, what you can simply do is to simply then say, what do you mean by a rich person? Hallelujah. Are we together? What do you mean by a rich person? That's when we then get into the issue of what does God mean by rich? What do men mean by rich? Because in this scripture, he's talking to people in a context that they can understand. It's like if I tell you now that it is hard for billionaires to enter the kingdom of heaven. The billionaire is a human understanding. We all understand what billionaire is. A billionaire is someone that has assets worth a billion. I mean, no, at least, right? I mean, no, right? So there is a human understanding of what it means to be a billionaire when he was talking to people. So what you just need to understand, what was the understanding of what it meant to be rich in this conversation? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when Jesus Christ says it is very hard for a rich person, who is he talking about? Is he talking about riches in the context of money? Or is he talking about riches in a different context? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the question is, who is Jesus Christ talking about? Let us go back to verse 16 in this verse. Because this is the end of an interaction that he has had with somebody. Okay. Verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Hallelujah. 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 So, Someone came to Jesus to ask him what? What did the person come to ask him? What must I do to have eternal life? So note that. 17. Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? So that means that the young man has obeyed the commandments, but he still does not have eternal life. Abinam? Yeah. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to his disciples, okay. So why was the young man... So when Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man, who is the kind of rich man that it is... Who is he talking about? Where is that seat, please? The tall seat. DG, do you know where the tall seat is? Okay. When Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man, who was he talking about? The young man, right? So why couldn't the young man receive eternal life? Let's get the mic. Why couldn't the young man receive eternal life? Raise your hand. You want to say, give him.
Because of, he couldn't give out his possessions to the poor. That's why God said that if a rich man is hard to get to heaven because of their selfish kind.
Yeah. He couldn't give out his possessions to the poor. Any other answer? Why couldn't he receive eternal life?
Because it's hard to don't let him give out possessions based on what he feels like. Because he feels that those are the only things in the commandments. But the thing that Jesus told him wasn't true. So he didn't want to do it.
Okay. So basically, I was saying the same thing, that he couldn't give out his possessions. All right. You were saying something. Why not saying something? You agree with him. You don't agree with him. Hey, say what you want to say now. Please give her the mic. What do you want to say?
I say that possession, and he cannot sell it out to give to the poor. Jesus now saying to sell it and give to the poor, and he cannot do that because
he's a... Okay, all right, that's good. You actually made a very, very strong point. All right, any other person? All right,
because he valued his possessions, so he couldn't give it out to the poor. And you know, when they say, when they said, how do I put this word? Your heart is where your treasure is. That word. So now, his possessions mattered a lot to him. So when Jesus was telling him that he should give it out to the boys, like, I thought it's just to him, just about following the commandment.
Yeah.
Do not kill, do not this. He doesn't know that there's more to that.
That's powerful.
So I feel like it's still the same thing that she said. But I think it was even this part of the Bible that said that you don't have to serve two masters.
It's going sleeping. Continue.
I think there's this part of the Bible that says you don't have to serve two masters. I think it was actually serving that is possession. So he could not drop the possession. Because assuming he has obeyed, he felt like only obedience to the commandment, that that's the only way that he's going to get eternal life. He doesn't know that he has to drop something. See, if he wants to follow Christ, you have to drop something. So I think he was still serving his, let's say, serving his possession. So that's
amazing. You guys clap for yourself. Even the clapping for yourself, you can't even clap for yourself well. So when Jesus Christ had that interaction with the man, and he said, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about that kind of man. Abino? Yeah. Now, what is the issue with that kind of man? It's a very specific issue. Very specific, and you all have said it. It is a man that can't give away. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, a man that can't give away his money is hard for that kind of man to enter the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? A man that can't give away his money. That's why I said this issue, it's a core matter. It affects how you can walk with God. You see, so God, when God looks at a man, he judges a man not by what he has, but by what he gives. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? So there's rich of the world, which is what you have. In the world, you are judged as wealthy by what you have. The wealthiest man in the world is wealthy because that is what he has. The way you count wealth is by what you have. What are your assets? Abinah? Yeah. But you see, with God is different. With God, wealth and riches is what you give. So if a man cannot give, hallelujah, he cannot walk with God. There'll be there'll always be friction. They won't be getting along. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because underlying the reason why he can't give is what you have said, that that's where his treasure is. Or that is his God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a man that can't give money out is just telling you that Mammon is his God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it is not that it is hard for a man with possessions to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is hard for a man that can't give what he has to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Your heart has calmed down, Abby. Please, you need to understand this thing. I'm telling you, you need to understand this thing. You see, some people, for instance, in Greek philosophy, the very fact that you have wealth is a bad thing. Some people, and it's not just the, even till now, some people just look at people that are rich and say they are bad people. It's just like everybody believes that Jay-Z is Illuminati, you know. Or I don't know if you, well, if you don't know, Jay-Z is not your this thing, but naturally, people just believe now that all the rich people in this world are in one secret cult. That's what people really believe. That they are in one secret cult, you know, that they are all worshipping Satan. You know, people have those kind of belief. Yeah. So people naturally ascribe evil just to the fact that you have wealth. Some people believe it is immoral, for instance, for a society to have billionaires. You know, many people say things like you can't become a billionaire without cheating people. You know, people just ascribe it. You can be a billionaire and cheat people, but that's not the issue. The issue is what people are saying is that the very fact that you are a billionaire means that you are an immoral person. But with Jesus, that's not the thinking. Rather, the thinking is that what makes you immoral is that you have wealth, but you can't give it. Hallelujah. Are we together? Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So with God, for example, you can't say that. That's why you don't start giving when you have money. Are we together? You should never be told, let them not give, they don't have money in church. No. That's a wrong spirit. Why is it a wrong spirit? Why is it a wrong spirit? If I look at China and I say, no, you don't have money, so don't give. Why is it a wrong spirit? Anyone? It's just a function of what I've been teaching you. I just want to know that you are following me. Why is it a wrong spirit? If you look at somebody now and say, oh, no, you're a small girl, you don't have money, so don't give. Why is that the wrong thing to do? Because they look at ourselves like this, so we'll be looking at ourselves like this. See, time is up, then everybody will go home. Why is it a wrong spirit? I want someone to talk. I want someone to think. Rack your brain, think something and talk. Why do you think it's wrong to hinder people from giving? You want to say something? Okay. After Christabel, you talk.
Okay. So I think it's because you feel like you're giving more than they could give. Like, forgetting or dismissing the fact that they can be giving more than you yourself. So their giving is not based on the amounts that they have, it's based on what they are giving from the heart and the sacrifice that they are putting into it. So when you do that, it's like you are feeling like you're better than them.
That's good. All right.
The spirit is bad because you said that before. You said a man that cannot give is hard for them to enter the kingdom of heaven. So when we keep saying, oh, this person does not have, so the person should not give. Like, it's just the soul can, like, tend to start feeling comfortable in that state, and then the person will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amazing. That is so powerful. Can we clap for that? That is amazing. Talk. You raise your hand now. Wait. Let him give you the mic. And please, before you talk, you know, your brain cannot be shutting down when we are discussing the Bible. I'm not just giving you information. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I'm not just giving you information. You're meant to be thinking. That's why you have brain. You're meant to be thinking. So your mind has to be following what I'm saying. That's how the word of God sits in your mind when you think about it. Okay? So your mind has to, you have to get used to, okay, if this is this, what does this mean? That's how the word of God expands in your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Revelation is not just, oh, wow. No, that's not, we're not here to excite ourselves. We're here to learn about God. All right.
So I think that the spirit is bad because you just feel the person is smaller than you. You don't have that knowledge that people can give whatever they have.
That is so powerful. Can we clap for her? Do you know most people don't know when they are being insulted? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? Most people, for instance, when you really want to insult people, most people will be happy that you're insulting them. Because some of the most powerful insults comes in the form of charity. You get what I'm saying? In the form of empowerment. For instance, when a politician is sharing sewing machine, he's insulting the people. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? If I come now, I'm meant to build good school for you. I did not build good school for you. I dropped the money. I now come and I start sharing 5,000 naira. It's because the people are stupid. They will not be thanking me for sharing 5,000 naira when I've chopped most of the money. Do you get my point? Right? So at times, when we come and we say, oh, no, he doesn't have capacity, let's set him down. It's not a good thing. I'm teaching you how human beings are. It's not, people are not trying to help you. People are insulting you. If I gather everybody here now and I say, okay, let me look at the quality of shoe that you're wearing, you know, and I'll use that to gauge who should stand in, you know. I won't say it like that. What I'll say is, you know what, we need to care for one another. We need to, you get my point? I'll say it in a charitable way. But what I'm doing is that I'm limiting people. Hallelujah. Paul looked at people and said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Huh? It is more blessed to give than to receive, which is what we'll look at. So, the person that is saying, I'm not going to give, the excuse can be I'm poor, but no. It's not because you are poor. Because God did not say you should give a specific amount. God said give. So, even in your what you call poverty, you can still have something to give. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So when he says the rich man, what he's talking about is the kind of person that finds it hard to give. That's who the rich young ruler was. He couldn't give away his possessions. Amen. So you can be poor and be like that rich young ruler. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? So you have to don't worry, I'll hone it, you know, but I'm still just looking at philosophy generally. So you have to allow the Holy Spirit. I said allow. I have to allow the Holy Spirit make you generous. Hallelujah. Huh? Some of you that are like that, you know what I'm talking about now. Maybe they will give you one rice and chicken or something. You will not want to hide it so that nobody will see. Then in your heart, God will not be telling you, go and share with your sister. Go and share with your brother. You'll be speaking in tongues or you'll be doing something. You know, it's poverty you're playing with. It's poverty you're playing with. Because if you go and speak in tongues for 5 hours, if your soul has not learned how to release, it will be hard for you to work with God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Let's go to James 5 from verse 1. Amen. Where is it in the freaking? Is working. Okay. Off to us. James 5 verse 1. Look here. Are we together? Look here, you rich people. So now you see this thing again. Are we together? They're saying, look here, you rich people. Okay? So we have the same issue with Jesus, where he has said he has called someone something, or he's calling some people something, you know. And so you then have to say, okay, what does he mean by what he's saying? Are we together? You have to be, in the scripture it's simple, but you just have to be careful so that you don't enter into ditch. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. And if you read this out of context, fear can reach your heart and say, the money I have, is it that bad? Yeah. Is it that trouble is coming? It's not saying again, your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? It's what he's saying. So some people on day of judgment, it's their money that will start judging them. For listen. Huh? So this is now who he's talking about. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. Let's go back to verse 4. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. So who is he talking about? What kind of rich person is he talking about? Someone that cheats. Any other person? What? A wicked, rich boss. Okay? That's true. That's what he's talking about. Yeah. You know. All right. Any other person? What kind of person do you think he's talking about here? Think. In your local setting, some of you are nannies. Some of you have worked for madam that did not pay you before. You get me? But like, think your normal life context. What kind of person do you think he's talking about? All right. But like, give her the mic. A selfish person. Fantastic. All right.
Somebody that exploits.
Amazing. Somebody that exploits. Hold on.
Greedy person.
A greedy person. All right. Any other person? You're all correct. It's plain. That's what he's saying. He's not saying anything deep. Somebody that oppresses people. Somebody that exploits. Somebody that cheats. All right? Your old boy, that's why, you know, that explanation, what was that major explanation that your old boys have, that they did slavery with us, so we are taking our money back, you know. Somebody that cheats, someone that steals people's money, somebody that oppresses people, somebody that will make people work for them, you won't pay them, you'll not call police on them. Abina? Amen. So that's what he means here by rich. Are we together? So people who use their power, status, and influence to oppress people, to take advantage of people. Hallelujah. In Nigeria now, you can be dating a rich man's daughter and the man will carry you to prison. Hallelujah. Amen. Joy, are you with me? All right, let's go to verse 5. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. So I need to explain something, you know. Let me explain it in a philosophical sense so that you understand it. Most of the, you see, in the world, especially when they talk about poor, in scripture, when they talk about poor people and rich people, and they're not talking it as maybe poor in spirit, you know, that kind of thing, which has nothing to do with money. When they're talking about poor and rich people, they're talking in a certain cultural or societal context, which is the context of lords and peasants. Are we together? Eh? That's how the world is the haves and the have-nots. Okay? Now, human, the fallen human, are we all together? Yeah. When man fell, you see, when before the fall, the concept of class, you know, you have maybe high class, middle class, you know, the concept of class didn't exist. That's why even in the kingdom, God doesn't think in terms of class. God thinks in terms of function. So when God, for example, says that the husband is the head of the wife, he is not saying that the husband is better than the wife. He's saying that the husband fulfills a particular role. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that role is called head. Huh? Are we together? Are we together? So many people in the African context, which is what I'm trying to explain, when they see head, they understand it not as God head. They understand it as African man head. All right? So most people preach the truth in scripture, but then they apply it like the word, meaning I'm the, if anybody do anyhow or slap you in this house, you can't talk to me anyhow. You get right? Do you understand what I'm saying, right? And in that same sense, you have God thinks in function. God doesn't think, oh, you are better than this person. There's nobody here that is better than anybody. I'm not better than you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of us are children of God. Are we together? Eh? All of us have equal access to God. God doesn't hear my prayer before your prayer. It's not like if you are praying, God says, hey, people should calm down. Let me hear the pastor. That's not how. Everybody is talking to God. God is hearing everybody. In fact, there are things that can happen here because some of you are sleeping. Even if me, I go and go to the mountain for 3 days, and I come with all the power in the world, if you people are doing best face, God will respect your best face and leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? All of us have equal access to God. But with men, it's not like that. There is the concept of the lords. Those are the people that control things. Then the peasants. Okay? That's what we are calling poor people. And typically, the people that, in human society, the people that have typically oppress those that don't have. Hallelujah. As per show off. That's the philosophy of it. Eh? Amen. When people in Spain take selfie and say, sending love from Spain or something like that, it is to show, why are you showing off? So that you can let people know that I have more money than you. Are we together? Are we together? Hmm? Especially in that kind of society. And you, because you have been trained in that society, that is your natural instinct. Your natural instinct is to oppress. That's why a Nigerian can be saying they're oppressing me. If you give him money and power, he will be the one oppressing people. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you can just give someone's power, be class captain, the wickedness you can see. You know, Ali. But you see, even though you are complaining, if they give you that same class captain, if God has not worked in you, you can even be worse You understand? There is no set of leaders as wicked as the current president of Nigeria that we have. But you see, that man is not a military man. So he doesn't look like a wicked man. But in that man's soul is pure wickedness. Your current president. Are you together? That man is a wicked, that man is one of the most wicked leaders Nigeria has ever had. But he's not a military man. He doesn't shoot people with gun. He doesn't do anything. He just is flesh. He's a work of the flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? That man went to Jaws where they kill people. He spent like 10 minutes in the airport. He just said, let's talk one or two things. People don't follow politics, so you won't know. Yeah, right? So, it's not about saying we are better. You're not better. It's the society that you are in. So, what I'm saying is this, is that most of your desire, I want to showcase God's goodness over my life. That thing, you can have that thing and still be an oppressor. Meaning, you can, for example, you can maybe when you are younger, you asked a girl to marry you, she didn't marry you, and the thing is in your heart. God should not bless you. You can come to church, right? Maybe you just bought a brand new car now. You can come to church and say, you know, praise God, I just want to give God testimony. But what's really in your heart is that you want to let that girl know that you see, God has done it. You have made the wrong choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So you need to interrogate, because everybody will say, I'm not an oppressor. Everybody will say, I'm not an oppressor. That's what poor people like to do. You know, when people don't have money, they always like to form that they're innocent. But it's not true. It's not true. Poor people are wicked, though. Poor people are wicked. Wickedness is not based on bank accounts. In fact, let me tell you the truth. Most of the wicked people, if you think about it, most of the wicked people you have encountered in life are usually poor people. Most of the wicked people you have encountered in life. Some of the nicest and kindest people are people that have money. Some of the most wicked. Maybe that is a school teacher in class. Amina? Yeah. Are we together? Are we together? So when they're talking about the rich people, the first set of people that can't give, the second set of people that want, people that use money and power to oppress. Hallelujah. Are we together? Some years ago, God taught me, he said, you can't be, he said, if you want to be promoted, you self promote people. Some people, for the past 5 years, they've not increased the salary of their gate man. Even though their own salary has increased by like times 10 or something. Yeah. They've not increased the salary. To increase the salary of gate man by 5,000 is war. Is war. Serious war. But then I pray to God, oh God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God is blessing them. But they don't understand the impacts that they are having, that they are oppressing. When maybe if they were in an office, they say, increase my money, people are not increasing. I beg, I'm leaving this company. When they're going to look for a new job, that will pay them. You know, they did everything they could, you know, when it's paying them, that their money is not increasing. But when it's time to talk about adding 10,000 to the poor person that is washing their clothes or the poor person that is cooking their food, they fight. Huh? Are we together? So that's what James is talking about. People that can't fight for themselves, people that don't have a voice for themselves. Yeah. As God told me, he said, you have to always be, anybody that works for me or something, the moment he gets to a level, It won't be so long. Once you are doing well, I will personally, let's increase your money. Because God has taught me that. You can't be asking God to do something. You say, you can't do it. You have no desire to do it. You have no passion, no empathy. Well, later I now found out that if you are doing, for people that do maybe living nanny, all those kind of things, it's not by the wealth of the person's house you are going to. Some of the most wealthiest people in this country are not paying their domestic staff more than 100K. But these people are actual billionaires. Or they are not paying their domestic staff, all those their drivers and everything. They are not paying them shishi. They are not, you know. Why? Because they can't fight for themselves. Because they can't, if they talk, just say, are you talking to me? I fire you, bring the next person. And the way you are, you have to purposely decide that you are not going to be like that. If you leave it to random this thing, you will be like that. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So those are the two issues with wealth. Jesus does not have any issue. In fact, the wealth can be unequal, meaning it can be only maybe like Abraham. Abraham is the only rich person in the area. Then the Philistines start envying him. God does not have any issue with that one. His human beings have issue with that one. Let there be equality. The issue that God has is when you can't give it. And the reason you can't give it is because that's your God. And when, because of your power and status and influence, you oppress weaker people. You cheat them. You do all sorts of stuff to them and you get away with it. Those are the two issues. Are we together? So that's, in God's eye, that is not riches. That one, if you're not careful, if we go to a fire, you know, that one is, you're actually not God's friend. Are we together? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 25. I have to finish this thing. Luke 10, verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You see all this? Is it the conversations that God has? You know, people come and ask for eternal life. Jesus will start talking about everyday life situation. You know, he will start giving you revelation of the three angels on the throne. You know, let's go 26. Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul." You are confusing it. Where are we, please? You are confusing me. 28. Jesus told him, "Do this and you will live." Jesus replied, is it good now? Okay. Can we clap for our projector guys? Let's celebrate them. It's not easy. I know you are thinking you can do a better job. It's not easy. Clap for them well, please. I'm not patronizing them. It's not easy. It's okay. They are not there yet, but they are trying. I don't have any issue with feeling as long as you keep trying. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Let's clap for them because they are trying. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Oh no, let's go back to 26 because I think we've skipped some things. Okay, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Right, Jesus told him, "That's correct. Do this and you will live." Amen. 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 Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Are we together? Do this and you will live. 29. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan. The reason why I say despised Samaritan is like the Jews are Samaritan. They're like, like tribal, you know, maybe Ife and Modakeke, you know, those kind of, if you understand Yoruba history. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor? To the man who was attacked by bandits, Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason why we're reading this story, are we together? Please, hear what I'm saying. The reason why we're reading this story is that Jesus here is saying, you remember the conversation started with, for you to inherit eternal life, you have to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind. Also love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Then Jesus is now explaining who a neighbor is. Okay? And he's explaining that a neighbor is someone that you can't doubt is a neighbor. What I mean by that is this, is that the neighbor is not your church member. Amen. Are we together? Eh? The neighbor is the person that you know your neighbor as per. Is the person that is actively involved in helping. So, all of you are attending the same church. But that doesn't mean that all of you are neighbors. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. All of you are attending. You can be in the same family. You can be in the same, you know, community. But the neighbor is specific. It is intentional. It is intentionally, helper. It is intentionally making an impact in the life of the person. And that's what we are judged by. We are judged by the actual impact. So when you say you love, right? Are we together? When you say you love, the love is not in mouth. The love is in the actual action. So if you can't, if you have not seen the impact of your money in the actual lives of people, to God, you don't have a neighbor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Joy, do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that when you are thinking about money, it has to be about actually, physically touching, impacting the lives of people around you. That's what it means to love your neighbor, which is how you get eternal life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can't get eternal life by hoarding. If eternal life cannot be gotten by, are you sleepy? Wow. Eternal life cannot be gotten by the amounts increasing. That has nothing to do with eternal life. That is information. Do you get my point? We are talking about the expression of life. Real Christianity, if you want to understand it that way, it is about actually making an impact in the lives of people. Let me show you what I'm talking about as per true religion. Who knows that verse in James? James 1, verse 27. James 1, verse 27. Please, I want us to read this thing. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. Can we read it again? 1, 2, go. Okay? Pure and genuine religion. Go back now. Go back 27. In the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. There might not be orphans around, there might not be widows around you, but the principle is that true religion is about touching a true Christian. That's what James is saying. A true Christian will be touching the lives of people around him. Are we together? Are we together? A true Christian will have that as a lifestyle. So you see what money is for? Huh? Are you understanding it? Are you understanding it? What money is for? You know this thing, we've not looked at scripture where it said that it's about your wardrobe. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about your wardrobe. Even though you can have... You remember what Jesus does? In fact, you can even have all the clothes in the world. There's no issue with that. The issue is, if you are not doing this thing, then it means that there's something wrong with your religion. The faith that you have, there's something wrong with it. So remember right now, we are talking about your philosophy, right? About money and riches. If you don't agree, because it's not a hard thing to understand, but if you don't agree with this thing, it will affect even your walk with God. So as you are imagining your future, that your great destiny, have the right imagination. Add this one to that theme. Are we together? Is your brain. You can augment your brain by yourself, you know. So as you're imagining, when I get money, add all these ones that we'll be looking at. Add it there. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Let me, because I need to lay down this thing very, very well. So let's do a quick exercise, because I need you to understand at a very, very, I need to teach the whole thing so that nobody can say they don't understand what I'm talking about. So now I want us to do a quick exercise. I want you to name the top 5 richest people in the Bible. Everybody. No. Write it down. The top 5 richest people in the Bible. Top 5 rich people in the Bible that you know. Top 5 rich people in the Bible. Carlton is waiting again. I wanted to rush because there's a function that I want to attend, but it seems I'll not be able to do. So let's just finish. Top 5 wealthy people in the Bible. To you don't copy another person, it's to you. You can have different answer. I'm not saying just to you, from all the Bible people that you know, top 5 worthy people. And if you don't, it's only 2, you know, write the 2. Just write, sha. Just write something. If you've not read your Bible like that. Or who you assume is just write. What comes to mind? Just write. Top 5 rich people. All right. Where's Balaji? Everybody will give us their list. Everybody will give us their list. I want to see everybody's list. We'll start from Elizabeth. It's fine. Whatever I wrote, just say.
The rich young ruler.
Okay. Solomon and David. All right. Pass the mic.
Caesar.
Okay, wow. That's strange. But it makes sense. Yeah.
I wrote Solomon, Nebuchadnezzar, David, and Abraham.
Wow. All right.
I wrote Solomon, Abraham, Jacob, and David.
All right.
I wrote Solomon, David, Abraham, Job, and Jesus.
Job and Jesus. That Jesus, is it just so that it won't be like I'm not... You didn't have anything to write, so you wrote Jesus. Okay. And that's what I'm saying now. Let's remove that Jesus. That's not your pure mind. All right, talk.
King Solomon, David, John, and Peter.
John and Peter. Okay. All right. I'll come back to you. I want to know why you... Let's continue.
Abraham.
Solomon, David, and Abraham. All right.
I wrote Solomon, David, Jacob, Abraham, and Pharaoh.
And Pharaoh, all right.
Okay, I wrote King Solomon, Abraham, David, and King Ahasuerus.
All right. Now, do you read Bible?
I wrote Abraham, Jacob, Solomon, and David.
All right.
Solomon and David.
All right.
I wrote Solomon, David, Abraham, and Nebuchadnezzar.
All right. Aisha.
Yeah, I wrote Solomon, David, Abraham, Nebuchadnezzar, and Pharaoh.
David, Solomon, Abraham, Jacob, and Job.
I wrote King Herod, David, Laban, and Solomon.
Laban. All right. Yeah.
I wrote Solomon, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and David.
I wrote Abraham, Solomon, Joseph, David, and Jehoshaphat.
I wrote Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, and Solomon.
Mm.
I wrote Solomon, David,
Queen of Sheba,
and Nebuchadnezzar, and King Azrael.
All right.
I wrote Solomon, David, Joseph, Nebuchadnezzar, the rich young ruler.
Rich young ruler.
I wrote Solomon, David, Jacob.
I wrote Solomon, David, Job, Jacob, Abraham.
I wrote Solomon, David, Esther, Micah, and Job.
All right. Cool. That's everyone, Abby. All right. Deji, did you write? All right, let's give Deji to...
I wrote Job, Abraham, Queen Sheba, Nebuchadnezzar, and Solomon.
All right, cool. Why did he say Peter and John? Is there any reason? No. Is there any reason? Why did he say Peter and John?
The disciples of Jesus.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. So. I mean, I think, and they are rich people, obviously. That's why, because there are people that had lots of material possessions, you know. And the reason why, let me ask this question. Why is it that, even though she wrote, but she just, you know, it's just a random, at least we know why she wrote them. None of you thought of someone like Paul. Abina. Yeah, none of you thought of maybe Peter or something. Okay. Hmm? What? Yeah, except for her, yeah, Peter and John. Except for her, you know. Now, why didn't you think of Paul? Let me tell you why I didn't think of Paul. Let's go to Acts 30. What I'm teaching is not, Acts 20, sorry. Acts 20. Most people will not mention Paul, and that's the point. But I'm trying to teach you how God sees riches now. Because what you're writing is based on what you have read in the Bible, based on how we talk. Solomon, God said, nobody before you above you be richer, that kind of thing, right? And a lot of times when we think about wealth, we are trying to replicate Solomon. Hallelujah. We're trying to replicate David. We're trying to replicate all the people that we spoke about. However, God is moving with human beings in a different way. And you see what I'm explaining. So you're probably saying that Solomon is rich because of all the things you've read about him. All the concubines, everything. So in other words, Solomon is rich. And when you say Solomon is rich, what is in your mind is that Solomon has a lot of possessions. But then you will see the kind of lifestyle that Paul was living. I want to use Paul as an example. Acts 20, verse 33. Or let's start from verse 32. All right, please, let's look together. And now I entrust you to God. So this is when Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus. And he's saying, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. Let's go on. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why it doesn't even occur to you that Paul handled a lot of wealth is because of the kind of... All right. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So you typically, when you're talking about the rich people in Scripture, you typically wouldn't mention Paul. For various reasons, because of the lifestyle that he lived, and it could also be because a lot of people don't really understand that doing ministry is expensive, on a very practical level, Now, Paul's manner of ministry is explained here, in the sense that Paul was not what you would call a full-time minister of the gospel. He wasn't, He had a work that he used to support the ministry. Are we together? In fact, that's even one of the things that he was talking about one time. I was like, I can choose to be on like a salary, but because of how I'm doing my church thing, I've decided not to do that. So he was a normal businessman that was doing his business. And from that business, he would take out of it and this church work. Hallelujah. Now, if you understand the cost of ministry, you understand that for that business or that his professional skill to fund, because a lot of things that he was doing was self-funded. A lot. I don't know the proportion. I was not there. But clearly, a lot of what he was doing was self-funded. Now, for you to understand the impact of it. I don't know. And Pastor, how much was SOD budget last year? 50 million. Okay. Now, so SOD budget, does SOD, you know SOD now? I've been SOD now. How many days? 7 days, right? So a 7-day meeting was 50 million. That was the budget. Okay. Now I'm saying that so that I can understand that ministry is expensive. You get. And Paul had a skill that was valuable enough to fund the work of God. So the amount of money that Paul was that was moving through his bank account was not small money. If it was the current, it was in today's current world, his bank manager would have been his best friend. But this money is flowing to your account. You know, let's give you a loan. You know, kind of Amen. Amen. So the question is, and what I'm trying to teach is, I'm trying to teach you how God sees riches. Okay? So that you say, if you can change your mind, that where we are now, is no longer Solomon. No? Are we together? Solomon is not your example. In fact, he's not your example at all. Abina, who is your example? The apostles. Peter, James, John, Paul, all those kind of people. Those are your examples. And in that kind of lifestyle, for you to understand how they see riches, you need to read verse 34. Let's go back to 34. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Hold on. Let's read it. But 1, 2, go. 1, 2, go. Amen. So, from Jesus' time, what we are now judging it by is not what we have, but what we are giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, they've changed it, you know. You get my point? They've changed the thing. So the apostles, you will never look at them. That's why you don't think they are rich, because the money is not showing on them. They're just wearing normal clothes. The money is showing in their work. Do you get my point? Meaning the money is outside of them. It's what they have given. So it's the people, if you want to say, I have money, what you will say is, I have money. What Paul will say is, I've paid school fees. Do you get my point, right? I've helped the brothers in need. When these brothers were in persecution, we sent offering to them to help them. Do you get my point? That's how they've rewired their brain to think of riches. That's what they're now using money for. So if you look at this in terms of who had the highest amount of gold in their vault, who had the biggest palace, it's Solomon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Paul will enter that place now. What is it concerned Paul with palace? Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. Are you hearing me? Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Hold on. Read this one now. 1, 2, go. Let's read it again. 1, 2, go. Amen. No, stay in 28. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously. So what he's saying there, you know what Paul was saying in Acts, this was also what he taught people. So this is his teaching people. I say, look, see, when you become a Christian, start working. Are we together? Why? So I can give others in need. Hallelujah. This is, you see, the power of Scripture, amen, listen to what I'm saying. The power of Scripture is that this thing is higher than all the altars in your village. If you don't have this, if you don't understand this thing, you will need to fight battle. Amen. You will need to fight battle because Satan will hold your money. And depending on how the thing go, if they sold you to river when you were 6, they will hold the money more. You get my point? But if you leave this thing, Satan has no legal ground to hold your money. Do you understand what I just said? It's better, it is quicker to operate by this principle than to go for online prayer. The thing will be quicker. When it comes to dealing with demonic issues, eh? It's not a forced thing. It's not like Satan is there, God will now say, you know, I know we like thinking like, it's not like that. It's a legal issue. If Satan is doing something, he's doing it because he has legal ground to do it. The only way you can outmaneuver Satan, the only way is by practicing the scripture. When you practice the scripture, you give Satan no more legal ground to operate in your life. Hallelujah. When you keep on practicing the scripture, practicing the scripture, practicing the scripture, eh? After a while, Satan will just lose, the thing will just clear, and you won't have, you won't have gone for 7 days fasting, you won't have gone for 14 days water washing, you know? Everything will just clear. But if you don't, you know, that's what I'm saying, it's younger people that will hear this thing more, because old people don't really like all this kind of preaching. If you don't practice the scripture, or more, the solution center, that's where you're going to. You know, by solution center, where they will give you soap to bath. But the front, there'll be cross at the front, just that when you enter, they'll give you soap to bath. You know, but you know, everybody will be Christian, like all Christians. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is the thing that will kill poverty in your family. This, all these things that we are saying. I don't need to teach it with Nigerian energy, because I'm a teacher of God's word, so I'm not a Nigerian Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I know that what I'm saying, you might not hear it. This might not be your natural inclination, but I'm not a Nigerian Christian. I'm a teacher of God's word, and I've never read. I've not read it, that there's altar in my family that is hindering me from getting money. I've not read it. Have you read it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Does the altar exist? Yes, but I've not read it. So I don't follow that principle. The principle I follow is what is in scripture. Your life can be a conduit of blessing, and the Satan will come and block it. Block what? God will be, you know what it means for somebody's life to, God is the one investing in you. Because you are now a plug for God to reach his children. You know what that thing means? That your life has turned to wire. Anybody that wants to touch God should just come and tap from you. So that's how the Lord wants us to see riches. That it is to give generously to those who are in need. Hallelujah. So in summation, in summary, when we talk about riches, you know, like I said, this is just the philosophy. Next week, we'll go into other things like the attitude, how that's the more practical. But this one is the important. This theory part is the important, because without this part, all those other teaching is a waste of time. In fact, as you walk further in those ones, you will just be getting worse. Your Christianity will be getting worse. You know? But foundationally, we shouldn't attach our identity to riches. That's the summary of what I'm saying. Money doesn't make me who I am. Hallelujah. Are we together? What makes me who I am is rather what I do with what I have. And that is clear. It is to help those that I need. It is to be a source of strength to the people around me. It's practical. It's very straight. There's no magumago around it. It's clear. Okay, church giving is clear. If you're giving a church, it's clear. There's no church, you're not using money to everything that a church is doing, at least a true church is clear. It's ultimately to serve people. You understand? Are we together? Some of you are on scholarship. The scholarship is coming from somewhere. Abina, the scholarship is not coming from heaven. It's not angels that are sending money to the bank accounts. It's coming from human beings. That's what money is for. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what money is for. If you're not ready to use money for that thing, just don't come next week. It's a pointless teaching. In fact, if you come next week and you keep on hearing the thing, the danger is high. Are we together? The danger is high. For so many people, it's like be better if they just live moderate life. Just have one or two small things, you know, just enjoy life small. But it is very dangerous to have a lot of riches and you don't see it from this perspective. Because what will happen is that money will become your God. You begin to worship yourself. And that one, it can lead you anywhere. It can even lead you to the point of leaving the faith. Are we together? When I was younger, they used to tell me that when, as people become older, which is something I've seen, they will tend to change church when they begin to make money. And that thing always struck me as odd, that maybe as I'm here like this now, I'm broke. I'll now start making lots of money. I'll not change church. Very strange. Very, very strange. I don't understand that thing. Because why is it that as I started making money, I didn't think of how I can help other people to make money? Why is it that my first thought is that as I'm making money, I need to go to church on the island? Why? I'm no longer worshiping God. It's not money I'm worshiping. And I think I'm better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what riches are for. It's not for you. And so ultimately, you have to think of it like a steward. It's like I'm handling it on behalf of God for other people. If you don't think like this, don't bother. You and God are not having a conversation around money. What is happening is that you are working hard and, you know, you can keep on working hard. But for you and God to have a conversation on money, you have to be a steward handling money for God on behalf of others around. Amen. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? And, you know, you're going to need to pray now. You're going to have to pray for God to help your mind catch up. You know, because there are too many times when you hear something like this, your mind might not be there. You know, but through prayer, God can have mercy on you. You know. Are these guys waiting for us? Are they waiting for us? But through prayer, your mind can catch up. Are they waiting for us? Sir? 12 fruits. Okay. 12 fruits. Yeah. Stage, yeah. Your mind has to catch up. Okay? So we're going to pray very briefly. I advise you go and pray at home because, you know, we don't have enough time. But I just want us to at least just pray now. You know. But I want you to, in that prayer, I want you to set your mind free from this earth and the expectations of money, all those things. I want you to set your mind free. I want you to gravitate. You know, there's a life that God is calling us to. And I want you to pray. I want your mind to get there. So come just begin to pray. I just say, Father, help my mind. Let me begin to think like this. Let me be established in this truth. Let me change my mind. Change my perspective. Change my mind. In Jesus' name I've prayed. All right. Let's take the phone in announcements. Is anyone coming for the first time? Anyone coming for the first time?